BW, the 77%.
It's Soccer Fever Month, and here at the 77%, we are keeping tabs on what's going on, especially in France, where the world's best female soccer players are competing to take the big prize home. By the way, Africa has already been shown the door after our only hope, Cameroon's indomitable lioness and Super Falcons of Nigeria, were sent packing during the knockout stage. But how was their performance? I'll be joined later by two of my colleagues just to dissect the highs and lows of the tournament. Also on the program, Nigeria's Super Falcons, the most dominant squad on the continent over the past 30 years, complain of being neglected.
We need a lot of motivation, a lot of support and all that. That alone can boost our morale, can you know, make us know that, yes, these people are really there to support us.
Great stuff coming your way here at the 77%, a platform for African youths. From our studios in Bonn, Germany, today you'll be with me, your fellow 77%er, Jane Nyingi. Shakira says it's time for Africa, but I don't think so. This is after three teams representing the continent in the Women's Football World Cup in France were sent packing. The three are Nigeria's Super Falcons, South Africa's Banyana Banyana, and Cameroon's Indomitable Lioness. The good news is that this year's tournament was a historic one for African football because for the first time ever, two African teams, Cameroon and Nigeria, advanced into the knockout stage. South Africa also qualified for the tournament for the first time, but did not advance outside of the group stages. Speaking to reporters on arrival back home after the tournament, Banyana Banyana head coach Desiree Ellis said the girls did their best and they will live to fight another day.
We didn't get the results we so richly deserved, but the lack of effort, you cannot say there wasn't any. The commitment, the dedication that the team showed, you know, the fight until the bitter end, that was all there for everyone to see.
That is Banyana Banyana head coach Desiree Ellis, and she says they will live to fight another day. Now, the tournament, which ends on July 7th, started off with a total of 24 teams. Defending champions, the U.S. women's national team, are still the strong side and will no doubt be aiming to lift a record fourth World Cup just a year after the U.S. men's national team were unable to even qualify for the World Cup in Russia. You can get more of those sporting events on our website dwafrica.com/77%. And if you're among those who love videos, you are sorted out. Head on our YouTube channel, that is DW Africa. Now, Nigeria's Super Falcons had to hold a sit-in when they arrived back home after the Women's World Cup to demand their wages. Despite being the most dominant squad on the continent, they've overcome many obstacles to adequately concentrate on competing at the world stage. DW's Chris Harrington met with the team and his report is presented by Abubakar Jalo.
Nigeria's Super Falcons have undeniably been the definition of super on the pitch in Africa. However, most of the players, like Tochukwu Oluihi, feel neglected.
Super Falcons has been the best in Africa, both for the male and the female. Super Falcons has been the one that has brought glory to the country. As a team, as a nation, as a country, they've not treated the girls the way they should. They sometimes do neglect the girls.
After more than 2 weeks of protest, the Super Falcons carrying placards begging to be paid.
Since the last Women's World Cup, they've been forced to hit the streets in protest due to unpaid salaries. Inequality in terms of payment compared to their male counterparts has always been an issue. The current World Cup holders, the U.S. women's team, have taken the issue of inequality to court. But Tochukwu believes they still have a long way to go.
We need a lot of motivation, a lot of support and all that. That alone can boost our morale, can you know, make us know that, yes, these people are really there to support us.
While sponsors like Adidas have gotten behind the women in the U.S., support for the Falcons has been scarce, some have blamed lesbianism. However, equal rights activist like Pamela Adi says this is not an issue.
So what the vice president of the Nigerian Football Association, of Football Federation Association, said was that, you know, sponsorship wasn't forthcoming because he felt that the Super Falcons was a place to groom lesbians.
Falcon assistant coach Maureen Madu has her take on this issue.
It doesn't matter where your love take you to. So I think it's something everybody have to suck it up, because God sacrificed love. So love is love. Whether man or woman, is love.
Super Falcons assistant coach Maureen Madu, and that report was compiled by Chris Harrington and presented by Abubakar Jalo. By the way, on our YouTube channel, DW Africa, my fellow 77%, Wanjiku Mwaura, wants to know how much you know about the FIFA Women's World Cup. Let's see if you will get the answers right. Finally, it's that time of our debate, and today we are looking at highs and lows of the Women's World Cup going on in France. And I'm joined by Latifa Mustafa Jafar, who works for Hausa Department here at DW, and she's from Nigeria. By the way, she's among a few women that I know that eat, sleep, and dream about football. Thanks so much for coming through. And you really look hot, like the current weather we are experiencing here in Germany.
It's really not easy, because yesterday we have 29 degrees in my state, Kano, back in Nigeria. But here in Germany, we are having 32 degrees, which is really high.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm also joined by Michael Oti from English Department, and is from Ghana. It's good to have you around.
Thank you, Michael, for having me. It's been a wonderful time to interact with you ladies.
Latifa, first of all, congratulations. The Super Falcons made history not only for Nigeria, but Africa football, because for the first time ever, two African teams, that is Cameroon and Nigeria, made it to the knockout stage. What are people saying back at home?
People back at home are really happy with Nigerian team, because I can tell you there is no time since the beginning of women football when Nigeria joined it, they always qualify. And then I'm from northern Nigeria, so I can tell you from our own part in Nigeria, we have supporters, because there are some that are feeling like women football is something else that I can watch.
But those supporting the team, did they organize like celebrations or something to do with that?
Not really. I have never heard about that, but I think some people might organize, but I will not say in northern part of Nigeria, because even the players, most of them are not from northern part of Nigeria, because there is no this support from the grassroots.
Michael, no celebrations in Nigeria despite the stunning performance by Super Falcons. But it's a good feeling as an African just to know now we've made a mark in terms of football. That was a great performance, don't you think so?
Well, I believe that indeed the Nigerian team put up a really good performance. So if there were no celebrations back home, then I believe strongly that it has something to do with all of the controversy that happened off the pitch.
Despite the Super Falcons performing very well, we also have the Cameroon Indomitable Lioness. They were really great throughout the tournament.
Indeed, I think that they did quite well. The Cameroonians, as well as the Nigerians, put up a really impressive performance. Although I think that they could have done a bit more, because it appeared that they had all the things that they needed to progress much further. But there were things that were happening on the pitch, off the pitch. And that's why the two teams went out after the knockout stage. But it's impressive, the progress that we have seen between the Nigerian and Cameroonian teams.
Latifa, such a chaotic ending for Cameroon, because during their last match, things didn't go the way they thought. And they claimed the referee wasn't fair, and that is why they lost their last match against England. Do you think they have anyone to blame for the loss, or it was fair and square?
Well, I cannot say it is fair and square. Even my problem is with the Cameroonian team. Even if it was not fair, they should not behave so widely. I know that there were tensions, and then they were angry, most especially towards the end. They played with anger because they think that there is no fair play, more especially after the second goal scored by England. And then they scored a goal, and then the referee refused to give them. So that is when the problem started. And towards the end, they played like they were fighting.
Michael, the indomitable lioness were not able to control their anger. What do you think of their behavior?
Well, first of all, I think that football generally is a very impassioned game. And the performance of the Cameroonian team is not unique. There have been many instances in football where players on the pitch have accosted referees, and they haven't, where especially they have felt like a decision has not been proper and fair. Players, even in the men's game, have in many instances accosted referees. So in that sense, the way the Cameroonian team behaved is not new. It may not be proper, but it's not new. It happens a lot of the time in football. However, I think that the more important conversation that we need to have is the role that VAR has played on this World Cup. And I bring up this point because I've seen a number of the matches, and there are many instances where referees have given decisions that in some instances have been overturned. Let's look, for instance, at the goal that was allowed in the Cameroonian game with England. The assistant referee ruled offside, and then the main referee went to look at the VAR and then ruled it as a goal. If you're a player on the pitch and you observe these two referees give conflicting decisions, I believe that in some sense you might feel like there's something happening here which is not fair to us.
I am having also this thinking, like, sometimes this VRA is not working properly. Let's take a look at the play between Nigeria against France. The referee gave penalty because she said the goalkeeper was out of the line. She crossed the line before catching the ball. Just because a Nigerian goalkeeper saved that goal, that was why the referee went to the VRA and then come and said, okay, now we must take this penalty again. And then they scored because the goalkeeper protested also there. She said, I will not going to do it. But the players convinced her that she should do it. And then not even in this women's football. Let's talk about even Bundesliga or even last year during the men football, FIFA football. There is also this complication or confusion regarding the VAR. A lot of matches came between, I think, Iran and France, I think. There was also this confusion. The VAR is creating a lot of confusion. These things happen. Even in Bundesliga, sometimes you will feel like, no, this VAR is not doing, it's not working correctly, or it's bringing confusion, because sometimes you will see conflicting like judgment between the lineman and the referee. So I don't think it is saving
it's not working. That is what you mean.
Well, I cannot say it is working 100%, but maybe bringing a lot of confusion. In my own opinion, that is how I see it.
Moving away from the confusion of VAR, Michael, you come from Ghana. Do you even have a women's national team?
We do. We have a very good women's national team. Unfortunately, there are several issues happening within football in Ghana. Part of the problems that we have is the reason why Ghana was unable to qualify for this tournament. And it's not a problem that is only related to the women's football. The problem also spreads into the men's game. So over the last couple of years, Ghana's performance in the international stage has been dipping because there are certain internal issues within management of football in Ghana. It's a whole big mess. And some of these things often show up when the teams go on international assignments.
What would you say is the general attitude of Ghanaians in regards to women football?
Obviously, compared to the men, the women, attention to the women is not as high as the men. But Ghana is a football-loving nation, so I believe strongly that if the Black Queens had made it to this year's Women's World Cup, there would be some bit of attention on them. However, it's also important to mention that, and I don't know why this is like this, but the Women's World Cup is happening at the same time as the African Cup of Nations. So assuming the Black Queens were playing at the Women's World Cup and the men are playing in the African Cup of Nations, you can imagine where the attention is going to be for sponsors, for viewers, and the audience generally. So I think that this is something that FIFA probably needs to manage better in future. The grassroots level, the structures for women to develop in football is not as good as it would be for men. And also goes back to the earlier question you asked, that interest, first of all, is more for the men than for the women. And so there's a lot more focus on developing men's talent than for the women. And that, in the end, goes against the quality of the game that we see within Ghana.
With all those challenges that have been highlighted by Michael, it seems the script looks the same across the continent, be it in the West, East or South. Latifa, is there a bright future for women football in Africa?
Hopefully.
There is a bright future.
Yeah, because I think a lot of women now are into football. And then there is, like, let's say, enlightenment. For example, now we are reporting about women football, you know, radio. Like in Africa, they're open listening to radio more than television.
Yes.
Because of certain situations that the radio is cheaper for them. So I think maybe with time, hopefully, but always men are at the top.
Latifa says maybe with time we'll get there. What do you think? Is there hope?
I think there is a lot of hope for the women's game, but the hope should be closely tied to investment in the game.
Exactly.
If African governments are not going to invest in the game, then they can be assured that their teams are going to perform poorly. Because the United States is performing very good because there's so much investment and attention on the women's game. But ask yourself the amount of budgetary allocation that is made for women's football in the various African countries. And you cannot invest little into the sport and expect maximum return. It doesn't work like that. So if the game is going to pick up, then African governments need to be serious about promoting the game and putting their monies where their mouth is.
As you rightly put it, Africa has to be serious in promoting women's football. Going back to France, which team do you think will win the big prize, or where do you bet your money?
Well, I am torn between the English team and the American team. The two teams, I think, are putting up really impressive performances. But looking at the experience of the American team, I think that they are going to be the ones to... They are my favourites for this tournament. When I think back to their thrashing of Thailand, 13-0, I mean, it tells you that they are here for business.
And Latifa, where do you put your money?
I think I will go the same way with Mike because, I think also American are doing super. And then maybe they are really ready to defend their cup.
Thank you so much for coming through. And we hope the best team takes the cup home.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much.
That was Latifa Mustafa Jafar, who works for Hausa Department here at DW. And Michael Oti from the English department. And now turning to your comments on our Facebook page, we asked, is women's football taken as seriously as it should be in your country? Asana Kupenda, who is from Ghana but currently in Turkey, says, of course the game is taken seriously in Ghana, but it lacks financial support and sponsorship. More corporate institutes prefer men football to women. I think with time we will move forward. Leo Biemba in Zambia says it isn't taken seriously here because football is viewed as man's game. From Nigeria, Boniface Akpan says it's taken very seriously, only that a coaching appointment is done on which political party you belong. Thanks so much for your comments. And you can continue with this conversation on our Facebook page, DW Africa. And with that, we come to the end of the today's show. You can listen again by visiting dw.com/Africa. For more content on the 77%, check out our YouTube videos on DW Africa 77% and let us know what kind of stories you'd like us to feature. From me, Jen Nying, and the whole team here in Bonn, Germany, it's bye for now.